Season 3, a little delayed, If and Reverse, the Bookmakers Podcast, live from Las Vegas. Yeah. Walking through this lively casino, as always, live from Las Vegas, once again, I'm your host, Dwayne Colucci. Race and sports manager of the Rampart Casino. And once again, we're live here from Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing it to you from my perspective, the bookmaker's perspective, from my side of the counter here at the Rampart Casino. And we're going to be going over a few things. Missed you, I got to say. It's been a lot of months, and we're finally getting back into the groove. You know, we had a few, I don't want to say setbacks or anything, but a few complications. But now we're back here live at Las Vegas, and glad to be back, guys, man. It's been such a long time, and I'm really enjoying being back with you guys from the Rampart Casino. Wow. And a lot of things have happened. March Madness was off the hook. Gotta say, we're starting to get back to where we used to be, finally. You know, with COVID, all these other things going on, and finally subsiding. We had crowds. You know, we don't need the social distancing as much as we used to, but we still practice it. You know, definitely people are still wearing masks, trying to have a safe atmosphere. You know, the cusp of the NHL playoffs. Vegas Golden Knights didn't make it. That's been a problem here in Las Vegas, you know, from a handle perspective, from a bookmaker's perspective. No Lakers, no Clippers in the NBA finals. I don't even want to say they made the first round. So, you know, very difficult bookmaking out here as of late, but definitely entertaining. The draft was off the hook. Premier entertainment, NFL is starting to really embrace Las Vegas, and they really should. I mean, think about it. What a great event the NFL draft was. Brought a lot of handle, brought a lot of new public and perspective to the sports gambling, as well as just the entertainment, you know, facet of Las Vegas. And once again, back, If Every Verse, Season 3. I got to say, you know, We're now into May, actually surpassed the Kentucky Derby. We had a massive payout there. Have parimutuel wagering once again with Churchill Downs, which is a fabulous, fabulous thing to have from a bookmaker's, you know, handle and perspective. Like I keep saying, the bookmaker's perspective, and definitely having Churchill Downs with parimutuel wagering. And you started to get the feel, guys, last year when we started to have some of the contracts, and earlier in the year, I want to say, when Fairgrounds and Oaklawn, Churchill finally started to negotiate And that definitely helped us. And once we started to have these tracks on board, and it's continuing on, you know, now we have Presque Isle Downs, we have Indiana, which is now, a different name. I don't remember. Horseshoe, I believe it is. Horseshoe at Indiana, which was Indiana Grand. And now we have that. And we have Oak Lawn. We have Fairgrounds. We have Churchill Downs. We had the full Derby card. And to have the seminar was so fabulous. Myself and Bob Ike, once again, teaming up for a great, great seminar. And the Rampart Casino did it fabulous, you know, in the Cascade Lounge. We had one of the best crowds we've ever had. And I will say it was a thank you to all our patrons for that turnout. It was just amazing. And the Rampart Casino family loves you guys. It's great to be a part of the Rampart lineage as we continue to expand. And especially with the horse racing, I have to say, guys, I want to thank you patrons so much. The handle has been off the hook from a horse racing perspective. We're garnering new customers from the surrounding properties, our competition, because we do it right. We have a fabulous comping system. My staff is amazing. And just, to have the Kentucky Derby, and despite, Rich Strike won, and we had a few big payouts, I will say. One of my sharper handicappers had the trifecta. You're talking in excess of $14,000. And now, guys, a lot has changed because the tax rules have changed, and, you know, you have a lot of different, not as many W-2Gs going out, which are tax forms, because of the standard that now it is 300 times the whole wager itself, not just the 50-cent increment or the dollar increment or the $2 increment. Where you would just base it on the $2 wager, it had to pay $600. Now you're talking, if the $2 wager exceeds, say, $108, you have to have it $108 times the 300, which is the new tax law. It's been in effect for quite a few years now. It's cut down our W-2Gs and a lot of the paperwork of my supervisors. That's a whole nother story, but Rich Strike would have definitely produced many of those and still did produce a few of these W-2Gs for my staff. And, congratulations to whoever had this 21 horse. Keep it in mind, he was the number 21. So he was not a qualifier. Ethereal Road had a scratch out from the Dwayne Lucas barn. And, the trainers and owners of Rich Strike said that, Dwayne Lucas told us just a little before the time that it needed to be announced that we could possibly be entered, and they jumped at the chance and they actually passed Epicenter and Zandon, which, from a handicapping perspective, it was so hard to come up with. Bob Ike does a tremendous job. I do a tremendous job. I don't want to pat myself on the back, but we all try and we all do our best. But Bob Ike had Epicenter. He ran his heart out. I had Zandon. He ran third. And, Rich Strike got the money. So you're going to see a couple of the familiar faces in the Preakness, and we'll get to that a little later. It's so great to be back, guys. Season 3 of If in Reverse. And it took a while, I have to say. We missed the Super Bowl. We missed March Madness. We had so much going on, a lot of red tape with this podcast and getting the sound and everything in order. And I'm just trying to produce what I had and recapture the crowd, because it's been hard. And definitely we missed a lot of sporting events, but in Las Vegas, if you follow me on Twitter at NYBookieDwayne, that's NYBookie, D-U-A-N-E. You follow me on Facebook, you follow me on Instagram, you definitely saw. I keep putting out everything that the Rampart and the South Point has as far as a betting menu. And, we've had our bumps and definitely a few hiccups here and there, but the Super Bowl handle was incredible. I have to say, those first two rounds of March Madness, the crowd was really getting back to where it used to be. And I was so proud of that. And just to have that feel, it makes me proud. And definitely a reflection on the staff, the whole property itself. We had the bad beat drawings. Anytime a lower seed beat a higher seed, we were giving out free slot play. We just had a great, great vibe throughout the first couple of rounds of that tournament. And it turned out to be fabulous. You had that, the Duke-North Carolina matchup that nobody could have anticipated. We couldn't have hoped for more. And, just a great, great turnout. Thank you again to all our patrons. The Kentucky Derby, to have that parimutuel wagering. And what I mean by parimutuel, guys, and I hate to rehash it because there's a lot of novices out there that listen to the If M Reverse podcast. They're looking for a bookmaker to point them in the right way and the right direction and to try to definitely teach. And we put out a lot of videos this year. I got to say, a total credit to the Rampart marketing team, because I filmed a lot of videos on how to fill out parlay cards, what we had to offer throughout the NFL season at the Rampart and South Point. And we definitely tried to capture the new crowd. We're trying to get new gamblers, and we let's get into the mobile application. That's the wave of the future. Without a doubt, people want to bet on their phone. They want to definitely have the ease and the convenience of sitting at home, not always coming to the casino. And especially with these pandemic situations and other variables, people don't want to always be in, out in public. And, sharing the same space as whatever you feel. That's what the mobile application is about. You have the ease of betting from the convenience of your own home. And all you have to do is sign up. Simple $100 deposit. We're working on trying to get cash deposits from debit cards and other credit cards. But currently at the Rampart and South Point, you do have to show up in person. But yeah, that's a slight inconvenience just to sign up. You fund your account and you're able to bet the full Rampart and South Point betting menu. And I'm talking about props, a daily prop, menu, I want to say, a daily proposition menu. You have all the NBA totals, all the NHL totals, lines on the games itself, MLB, full slate, first five innings. So, definitely come by, see me. And we also comp at the Rampart on the mobile application. That's why we ask you to get a player's card and you go from there. That's your account number. You definitely accumulate comps, and we have one of the best comping systems in the United States. I don't have to stress that. It's just amazing. So come out, join that, have that mobile application, and use it to your advantage. It's definitely a tool. It's the wave of the future. So getting back, we had all these fabulous events, definitely the March Madness, and getting back to the horse racing with the parimutuel contract being signed with Churchill Downs and CDI. It was a fabulous thing. Finally negotiating after 3 or 4 years where we had to book the action ourselves. And guys, what I mean by book the action ourselves, it's us versus the player. So a little different as opposed to being into the pools at the racetrack at Churchill Downs itself, where you get the full track odds. It's not me versus you, the bookmaker, Dwayne Colucci versus the public, like it is during an NFL Sunday or a baseball, regular weekday or what have you. Now you were able to wager into the parimutuel pool, and it definitely increased handle. And like I said, we had a seminar to try to teach you about all this. Myself, Bob Ike, we gave out handicapping tips. We gave out, think about it, guys, free slot play. 20 win, place, and show on all the 20 entrants. And you had this according to the parimutuel payoff. So the person that actually, is a good friend of mine, he actually was able to draw the number 21 horse. You had 20 to win, 20 to place, 20 to show, in excess of $2,600 in free slot play just because you attended the Rampart Raceheads Sportsbook Kentucky Derby Seminar hosted by myself and Bob Ike. And we do that yearly. It's annual. We're up to, I believe, Bob said it was our sixth or seventh. You know, we do the Breeders' Cup. And what a fabulous turnout, I got to say. There was in excess 75 names. It was amazing how many people came out just to witness Bob Ike and his handicapping techniques, putting out all the replays of the, prep races, whether it was in Florida, Arkansas, California, just had all the prep races and had everything in order. So a credit once again to my friend Bob Ike, legendary handicapper of the California circuit, and definitely will be looking forward to having Bob Ike at the Breeders' Cup seminar this year. And that will be in the Cascade Lounge at the Rampart Casino, as always. And unfortunately, we won't have the Belmont Seminar because the Kentucky Derby winner, Rich Strike, chose to skip the Preakness. And myself and Bob host the seminar if we have a Triple Crown possibility. But now there is no possibility of a Triple Crown. And we'll touch upon that in the second half of the FM Reverse season premiere. Yes, the season premiere of FM Reverse. Season 3, finally back. And guys, I want to actually apologize for not being back sooner, because we definitely should have. And, we worked on it. We got it done. We're back here live from the Rampart Casino, live from Las Vegas. And, definitely, let's tune it up a little. I mean, everybody wants to tune it up. Let's hear the horn. I mean, this is a major part of If Every Verse. Horse racing is a major part. Everybody wants to do the sports. Everybody wants my hockey picks, whatever you talk about. Yeah, the hockey picks, the NBA picks, baseball picks. I tell you, I was riding high with the NHL this year. And thanks for all those followers with Jimmy Odd and ESPN Baton Rouge 104.5, VSiN, Stormy, Bonantoni, unbelievable. All the guys out there at VSiN that have had me on the shows, and I'm on two or three times a week. Scott, definitely, Scott's on air. Amazing, just a run that we've had. And there were points where I believe I was on a stretch where I was like about 15-2. We opened up the playoffs with an incredible run. The NHL picks have been fabulous. We're keeping it going. We're trying to keep it going. But, these NHL playoffs have become very difficult. And like I said, unfortunate me, a season ticket holder of the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Golden Knights were not able to make the playoffs this year. It was a huge disappointment for the city of Las Vegas. You know, with the acquisition of Jack Eichel and all the manpower, games that Vegas sustained this year, it was difficult. I have to say, difficult on Robin Leonard. The crowd and the social media platforms were so abrasive to Robin Leonard. Brossoit stepped in. He was the backup. Then you had Logan Thompson, who played fabulous down the stretch, but he couldn't win a game. And it resulted, I have to once in a while take a sip of water. You get dry out here in the desert. 100 degrees today. Keep that in mind. And it's Thursday, May 19th. And I'm pushing 50, guys. It's going to be 50 in less than a month. So, you get a little dry. It's definitely a desert atmosphere out here. But getting back to it, the disappointment of the Vegas Golden Knights, the acquisition of Jack Eichel. Then you had the combination of Leonard with the injuries, Brossoit, he went down. Logan Thompson, like I said, played fabulous. It resulted in a coaching change. As in the last 48 hours prior to this podcast, Peter DeBoer was relieved of his coaching duties. And, I have to say, I think maybe McCrimmon should have gone as well. Not just DeBoer and this coaching staff, but you could sense the underachievement. And I'm a season ticket holder, guys. So I was there for a lot of games down the stretch. You could see there was a lack of emotion, a lack of a drive, a lack of, physical play. They tried to finesse through it. You obviously knew the captain, Mark Stone, was hurt and compromised with injuries at times. It took Alec Martinez so long to come back from that facial laceration and that injury. Then you had the acquisition of Eichel, and you had to manipulate the cap. And this is where I felt that the general management and the upper management should have been held somewhat responsible, because, you tried to trade Dodonov, and you actually... The upper management is saying, well, we really didn't realize that he had a no-trade clause to, I think it was Anaheim they were trying to trade him to. And it's like, but you're the general manager. That's like me telling Michelle Bacigalupi, who's our general manager, well, Dwayne, you had to sign the contract to book, the Kentucky Derby, and, well, I kind of didn't realize that I had to have it in by that time, and I didn't think we would have it, so I didn't send it in. Well, Dwayne might not have his job much longer after that. I mean, think about it, guys. I mean, you're trying to trade this poor guy to a team he doesn't want to go to, and you're trying to manipulate cap space because you know that you have Riley Smith coming back, Alec Martinez, Pacioretty, Stone, and all these guys can't hit the cap with the Jack Eichel contract, and yet you still don't understand. So I definitely hold McCrimmon responsible for that. And I don't care that they got rid of DeBoer. I have to say, a lot of friends of mine, I know plenty of guys that know a lot about the NHL. You guys know I do my homework with this. That's why I've been in the top percentage of handicappers in the NHL this season. And, I'm not a tout. I always say that. I don't sell picks. I'm a bookmaker. I'm here in Las Vegas to book your action. I will help you, though, with a sport like the NHL, where there is not massive handle, but increased handle, and I want to promote the sport. So I am definitely giving you my unbiased opinion. I'm looking for winners, guys. I bet just like the general public and the sharps bet. I bet at other books, naturally. I cannot bet at my own. That's totally against the rules of Nevada gaming. I mean, Roland just sent us out the documentation. You cannot bet at your other, your other satellite books or your own book. But I do choose to bet at other books, whether it's, Circa, Westgate, whatever. Stations, Boyd, I don't care. I'm going to look for a shop, and shop a line, just like anybody else, because I am definitely a consumer. So with the NHL, I try to put my best foot forward. I'm not a master at baseball, NBA. I do my best, definitely. Horse racing, I've hung my hat on that for a long time, my reputation. I've followed horse racing. I give out horse racing picks, my honest opinion. That is us versus the track. And not you versus me. I always say that a lot of these horse racing handicappers get a little confused, because it ain't me versus you unless we're in the Horse Players World Series or the NHC or something like that. It's me versus the track. I want to try and get the best price. I'm trying to make a bankroll and create money management tools to help me with horse racing. So that's a totally, totally different story. And I always say, I can't understand why horse racing handicappers are so, it's definitely about pride. I know, sticking your chest out, but that's why me and Bob get along so good. We can bounce things off each other. We bounce opinions, knowledge, races that we've seen throughout the history of horse racing, and the knowledge we could share. And that's why we get along so good. We're not trying to outdo each other. We're trying to outdo the track and get a massive payoff. So with this hockey, definitely I'm trying to do the same, and I will never give a stray pick. The picks that I give out, and I told you again, let's say it again, I am not a tout. I try to give you my concise opinion on what is going to happen. And I am a season ticket holder. I was a season ticket holder in New York. For times, I had friends when I was growing up, when I was a little toddler. 8, 9, 10, 11. New York Islander, season tickets. Dad had Rangers, season tickets. I was at the Garden. I was at the Nassau Coliseum. So when you start to garner a lot of knowledge, you want to share it. So what I noticed with the Vegas Golden Knights as a season ticket holder, as I'm getting repetitious, you saw the lack of motivation. And with the mistakes and definitely the Lehner situation and then, Brossoit having to come in, Logan Thompson playing fabulous down the stretch, but they didn't make the playoffs. Got beat by teams like Dallas, Edmonton, the teams that needed to beat them, beat them. So, give me a break. Where do you go from here? You change the head coach. We're definitely going to have a similar roster. We're going to see how it plays out. I got to say, from a standpoint of a season ticket holder, ticket prices ain't going down. So when the ticket prices keep, going up and the quality and the product keep going down, I don't know what to tell you. So I was disappointed there. Disappointed with the Montreal Canadiens, naturally my team. We went so far last year, and I documented this on If and Reverse, the Bookmakers podcast, that we had such a fabulous run, the Montreal Canadiens. They were able to beat the Vegas Golden Knights, win the Campbell Trophy, which was definitely something that is bulletin board material because of what he had done to Maurice the Rocket Richard back in the day. And, that's a whole nother story that we're going to touch upon on If Every Verse. I love the old school stories, and me and my dad had such a great time enjoying Montreal. You don't know what it's like, guys. I tell you the truth. You don't know the feeling to start embracing a team like the Las Vegas Golden Knights, but your original team is the Montreal Canadiens, and that's an East versus West matchup, but yet you're playing to go to the Stanley Cup. And I hate to admit it, that Kucherov was right from Tampa. It was sort of like we won the cup once we beat the Vegas Golden Knights. And I hate to say that. I hate that. I hate that analogy because you saw Caulfield, you saw Suzuki. Carey Price was amazing. He put his heart on the line. I tell you, he sat out this whole season, guys, because the effort he put forth in the so-called bubble, whatever you want to call it, Carey Price was amazing. He carried the Canadiens. They beat Tampa in the game, lost the series 4-1, but to beat the Vegas Golden Knights and to be a part of that, and to witness that, and to have your two favorite teams going head-on, and I took a lot of flack wearing those Canadian jerseys at the Fortress, I got to say. If you follow my social media, Chris Andrews, Vinny, Maiolo, they were giving me a hard time because can't understand how a kid from New York, roots from Montreal, comes out here and you're still rooting against your home team, the Golden Knights. It was a fabulous, fabulous series and, a lot of disappointment this year. We got rid of Duchamp. Now you have Martin St. Louis as the head coach. He was a former Tampa Bay Lightning superstar and, also has a cup. So, hopefully we can learn, move forward. Like I said, no Shea Weber, no Carey Price this year. A lot of trades, a lot of different movements. Duchamp had a lot of problems with Cole Caulfield, who is, I believe, the future of the Montreal Canadiens. The kid played about, 65 games this year and led the team in goals, scored 23 goals. He was on an incredible pace. Now, he didn't win the Calder Trophy, but there was definitely a chance there down the stretch when he started to, play so well and scoring goals. And even though Montreal, and it was funny because I talked to Jimmy Ott and he had asked me at about, I want to say there was about 25 games left in the season, 30 games. He asked me, how do you believe the Montreal Canadiens will continue to play, as poorly as they've done and how the season has transpired? Do you think they could play, somewhat close to 500 hockey? And I said, definitely. And they won a lot of games right after I said that. They were below 500, but they definitely improved as the season went on and shown. They have shown some definite signs. You know, they have young players with Nick Suzuki, Josh Anderson, you know, like I said, Cole Caulfield, Romanov, definitely good players. Samuel Montebo, he played a fabulous game out here in the Fortress and definitely pushed the Knights to the brink. We went to overtime in that game. Another fabulous matchup where, you know, the Knights wanted to just destroy the Canadiens. I mean, you check my Twitter, and I'll put it out there again. Always hit me up. You know, this is what If Every Verse is about. I want you guys to submit questions, put out questions on my Twitter, at MYBookieDwayne, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you have. Just definitely contact us here at If Every Verse. Because I want to hear your questions, because I'll put out the video how the Montreal fans took over the Fortress. And you know that the Vegas Golden Knights wanted to get back at Montreal for that. And it was a tough go. That was a great game. Great, great game. And unfortunately, like I said, the Knights, we really thought we had a definite, you know, team for potential to win the Western Conference and to not make the playoffs with this payroll. I'm going to take a little water. Ugh. I need to be doused. Everybody does. And you look at the Facebook out here on the, you know, the social media. I'm a big social media advocate, guys. And you look at all these posts from the fans and abusing Leonard and abusing, you know, the situations with Mark Stone. And, you know, the support, though, on the other hand, for Logan Thompson, who from the Henderson Silver Knights just made a tremendous name for himself. And he's playing well now for Canada, Team Canada, I'm watching, in these, you know, World Championships. And Josh Anderson as well for, you know, representing the Habs. And Logan Thompson definitely representing the Vegas Golden Knights. And, you know, it was so unfortunate. And you know, we had a lot of promotions at the Rampart supporting the Knights. We had Derek Englund come out. What a fabulous guy he is, I got to say. You know, I got a chance to meet him, talk to him about, you know, Vegas Golden Knight tradition. And this guy is definitely the heart and soul and a Vegas Golden Knight trooper and one of the faces of the Vegas Golden Knights and always will be. I remember his days with the Wranglers out at the Orleans. So, you know, definite thank you to Derek Englund from the Rampart family. He came out, he signed autographs. What a fabulous appearance. There was a great turnout for Derek. I mean, anytime you have a Vegas Golden Knight on the property, what a huge, immense boost that is. And definitely a credit to us at the Rampart. We try to promote, we support our city here. Just remember, we're locals, we're in Summerlin. You know, come out, see me. Definitely, I'll, you know, give you my handicapping tips, my thoughts, any questions you want to ask. That's what we're there for. And that's what makes it so great being a bookmaker in Las Vegas, you know, because you have those, you know, fans on Twitter, the people that are perceptive, people learning gambling, and you have, you know, the people that like to use the application and they want to learn. So they come in once in a while, but that's why I'm there. Just ask me questions, bounce whatever you want off of me, you know, criticize me. I don't care. I'll take it. You know, that's what's great about being a bookmaker in Las Vegas. And we saw a lot of that with the draft, a lot of new faces coming in, staying at the hotel, our fabulous JW Marriott. And, you know, just having these new events, it brings so much to the table. And now Las Vegas is totally in the foreground for great sporting. We are synonymous now with sporting events, the NFL. Listen to me, guys. I mean, 10 years ago, we were like frowned on by the NFL. I don't know what their thoughts were. Games being possibly fixed, manipulated because we take action on games. I don't know. But now it's for NFL draft, Super Bowl 2024. Las Vegas Raiders made a playoff run this year. Unfortunately, they fell short too. I mean, you know, played some fabulous games down the stretch, great games. Carr was fabulous. Jacobs, Waller, faces of the city, you know, trying to go deep in the playoffs and just couldn't do it. I mean, they tried, they did their best, and definitely a credit to a new team and a new franchise, not a brand new franchise like the Las Vegas Golden Knights, but new to the city of Las Vegas. And credit to Mr. Davis. He has done so much for the town, just like Bill Foley. And, you know, they're trying to bring a great, great product. Now, the NFL had way more hiccups, don't get me wrong. It always will in comparison to the NHL. You're going to have some players that, you know, off-the-field problems that will be documented. And, you know, a lot of people here in Vegas are shocked with that. But trust me. If you play for the Dallas Cowboys and you get a DUI or something, it's just as well documented in Dallas, Houston, the Texas areas as it is in Las Vegas. So, you know, let me tell you, it's a fabulous product. It has to be finely tuned. A great stadium. We're going to have the Super Bowl. Root for the Raiders, you know, even though they were the Oakland Raiders, now they're the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm kind of more of a guy that I love the true roots of the Vegas Golden Knights because they are the only true Vegas-born team. But I'm definitely going to throw my support behind the Raiders. They have increased the NFL handle immensely. And definitely when they're playing and teams like the Chiefs, this division this year, let's get this right off the table. You know, I'm going to jump right in now. This division with Russell Wilson, Carr, unbelievable Mahomes, and Herbert, who is the up-and-coming quarterback of the future. You have such a four-prong attack, I want to say. And one of the toughest divisions now in football. And the Raiders are going to have their work cut out for them. Trust me, as many acquisitions as they made, I have to say Denver now is definitely, with Russell Wilson, has definitely enhanced their chances. Mahomes is still there, even though Hill isn't. They're going to definitely try to hold serve, as we so-called, you know, us bookmakers and handicappers say, you know, they've been the top dog, but definitely Herbert and the Chargers have made immense strides. And I will say that again, immense strides. I am definitely looking at the Chargers from a future wagering perspective. But, you know, you still have the Bills there. You have, like I said, the Chiefs. So many things. And we will go over the NFL teams and win totals as we have in prior years of If and Reverse. So don't miss that, guys. I'm not going to forget you with the NFL. We're going to go over the win totals. We're going to go over the rosters. We're going to go over the Raiders. We're going to see what's what. Davante Adams, baby. He's a Raider now. Carter Adams. You imagine this? Unbelievable. I got to tell you. The Raiders have such a big vibe in this town. And possible Oakland A's, I'll tell you too, across the street. Who the hell knows? You know, so there's so much talk and so much vibing on the professional sports level here in Las Vegas. It's great to be a part of. And, you know, from a bookmaker's perspective, it's exciting because it creates handle. And on the downswing now, that's what was so disappointing right now at the point we are on May 19th. The Thursday before the Preakness, and we're looking at no Vegas Golden Knights, and we're playing now the NHL, you know, Final Four in each conference. We have, you know, no LA Lakers, no LeBron James, no Clippers, no Kawhi Leonard, and that definitely hurts handle. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Anybody who don't say that the Los Angeles teams and the Las Vegas teams not being a part of the playoffs, it hurts handle. We're not on the East Coast. We're not, you know, doing the East Coast thing here. We're a brick and mortar facility at the Rampart and South Point. We have to have our business draw from Nevada. We cannot disseminate out of state, so it's difficult. You know, South Point runs a few operations, you know, out of state, but You know, nothing compares to having the Vegas Golden Knights, to having the Los Angeles Lakers. Granted, the Dodgers started up, baseball has started up. That's going to be fabulous. Yankees off to a great start. So we're seeing increased handle on that side. But also, that was slow to get off the ground because you didn't have all the, you know, spring training buzz. You didn't know when it was going to happen. You had contract negotiations, the players union against the owners. So baseball was on the back burner. And now, like I said, you take out these local teams and we're definitely, you know, clamoring and trying to put out different propositions each day and different, you know, the golf PGA championship we're trying to promote just to get some handle to make up for the Vegas Golden Knights, the Lakers and the Clippers. And especially, you know, you may make, let's make light of it, let's make fun. But HBO had a huge special on the Lakers and Magic Johnson and Kareem and all that going on. And you got that Laker buzz and LeBron sitting on, you know, Twitter tweeting about, oh, I'll never miss the playoffs again. And, you know, I hope not from my perspective. So, LeBron, I'm rooting for you. I always do. I always say you're the best. So, you know, and yeah, that's a whole other story. We have to take a beating. You know, how could you say he's better than Jordan? Well, he is. And especially in my opinion, what he's accomplished. So we'll go down that road, you know, and have another conversation. I'll have guests this year. Definitely the new season, guys. New season 3, FM Reverse. Unbelievable. And yeah, next week, not next week, or next episode, I will say, we will have Darth Vegas back. He definitely, you know, wanted to be a part of the opening episode. But I said, you know, we're going to really kick it in with some old school brothers. A little Dwayne, a little Dickie, a little Butchie, J-Mo, Greg, Barry. We're going to start from the roots and, you know, start with that unreleased track. Then we're going to add a little horse racing like we always do. We're going to have the NBA, the NHL, and, you know, tonight's games were fabulous. Saw the Avalanche actually lose to the Blues. St. Louis steps up, makes it 1-1. Tampa Bay now 2-0. Not a shock. You know, just the Lightning. Wow. They're on the cusp of a third straight cup, guys. Three straight Stanley Cups. How hard is that? We know. I'm a Canadian fan. I hang my hat on those four straight, the five straight, the only team to ever do it. And always the rivalry you had with the Islanders and Edmonton trying to reach that cusp that Montreal always had. And also, I want to make note, you know, from my era, old school stories, guys, you know, and he is one of them. I love to share these. You know, growing up, my dad took me to the Montreal Forum, and it was always such a pride factor to be a part of, you know, the 70s to early 80s Montreal teams. And to see the legend, my hero, Guy Lafleur, and my dad will tell you, I had a little jersey, you know, when I was 8, 9 years old, a Guy Lafleur jersey. He was always my favorite player, and, you know, God rest his soul, he passed this year. And always, you know, we had friends in the New York area, and especially my mom and dad's friend, Joanne, leaves an impression always on me because she took me to so many Islander games, whether they were playing the Canadians, the Bruins. She was an Islander season ticket holder. And I have to say, you know, she knew the ushers and got my mom actually a beautiful signed yearbook from the glory years. Every single player has signed that yearbook, and God rest his soul, Mike Bossy, the legend, one of the greatest goal scorers I have ever seen and witnessed. You know, such a bad loss and a terrible loss, as well as Guy Lafleur this year. And within the same week, two of my favorite players, you know, I hated Bossy. I gotta say, I hated Bossy. I hated Trottier, hated Tonelli, because they were the team that were right after the Canadians, and they pushed it to the brink. But the respect I feel, and to have those two legends, Mike Bossy and Guy Lafleur, lost this year, it is so terrible, and they were so comparable because they were both winners, great goal scorers, you know, led the league in scoring, and And getting back to my mom's friend and dad's friend, Joanne, she took me to so many games, and she was such a diehard Islander fan. And, you know, share those times together growing up as a young kid, going to the Forum, having my dad take me, and my dad and mom and Joanne take me to the Nassau Coliseum, and seeing the, you know, actually the Soviets play in the Garden. I've been to so many games, and I have to say NHL is the most. And I've been to Nassau Coliseum, like I said, the Montreal Forum, as well as Madison Square Garden. Just to share that hockey lineage, I love that. And, you know, just condolences to the LaFleur family and the Bossy family, because they were such great times in my life, seeing those players play, and it was a highlight. When you walked into the Forum, you know, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and, you know, you saw those faces. They had those big faces always throughout the Forum. Rocket Richard's face always left that impression. He had the greatest hockey face ever. He was the greatest goal scorer ever. That's why they call it the Maurice Richard Trophy. 50-50, and Bossy did that. And, you know, just Mike was comparable. He was a monster goal scorer. The Islanders had a monster team, and I hated that team because, like I said, they followed up the Canadians after the 4 in a row, and they won the 4 in a row. And I have to say, I was so, like, rooting for Edmonton. to make sure the Islanders didn't win 5 in a row. And growing up as a kid in that New York area, taking my lumps. But a lot of my friends now, they know and respect that I knew who the Montreal Canadiens were. And they didn't really know the lineage and, you know, have the respect. But now they do. Now they know. And, you know, it's taken Montreal years and years. The Islanders haven't won for years as well. You know, the Rangers, 94, the year I left. Canadians right before that, the year I moved here. That was great seeing them beat the Kings. So hockey is definitely in my blood. And, you know, what a terrible loss to have Mike Bossy and Guy Lafleur, you know, pass within a week. And two of the legends of hockey. Two of the greatest players that I've seen in my era, you know, and I'm talking from the 70s up until now, definitely left an impression on me. Saw them play many times, like I said, Forum, Nassau Coliseum, Madison Square Garden. I don't care where it was, but condolences to those families. And, you know, hockey playoffs are in full swing, like I said. You know, you had old school the other night, Edmonton and Calgary going at it like you would have thought it was the 80s. You'd have thought it was Gretzky, Messier, Coffey, and, you know, those guys going against Lanny McDonald and Fleury and Theo Fleury. You know, not Marc-Andre, so you Vegas fans don't get a little confused. But definitely McInnes, all those guys, Flames, Edmonton, Western Conference hockey, and you saw massive goals. Yeah, what was it, 9-6, 15 goals? Unheard of in this era, and Markstrom giving up so many goals and being the top goaltender in the Western Conference, that was a shock. And on the other hand, you know, you knew Mike Smith eventually was going to be vulnerable, so he gave up, you know, quite a few goals early, but I'm anticipating a great series between Calgary and Edmonton. I did pick Calgary to win the series. I'm going to stick with that. You know, I liked Edmonton's chances coming into game one. I thought Calgary would be a little slow from the prior series against Dallas. And Jake Ottinger put up an incredible fight. And they were playing like a defensive style hockey, both teams. But now Calgary has shown that they can play the offense and the defense. So credit to Calgary, 1-0 lead in that series. Like I said, we saw Tampa go up 2-0 and the Colorado series go 1-1. And now, you know, of course, let's talk about the Rangers and Carolina series, which Carolina hasn't lost at home yet. And I think the Rangers put their best foot forward and lost. So now you're going to see 170, 175, 180 on Carolina. Carolina is going to be tough to beat in this series. I understand Igor Shesterkin, best goaltender probably in the world. He's starting to get back on track. Wasn't his fault that losing that game losing goal or giving it up. It definitely went off a deflection. Igor had a great game. They definitely need more production from Chris Kreider. I will say it right now. He's been kind of, transparent during the playoffs. Played well in the first round, but not great. And now the second round, he really has to show his prowess. He scored 50 goals this year. Let's step it up. Panarin's there. Zibanejad's there. Fox is there. You know, they have so many different weapons. And, the young line has played well. Edel has played well. He played great in game one. And combine that with Lafreniere and Kako, that was an unbelievable line in game one. But they definitely have to step it up. They put forth their best game and still lost. So keep that in mind. Definitely the Rangers have to improve. And I think they'll improve when they get to Madison Square Garden. But if it's too late by then, I mean, you would have thought it was too late for Boston. But Boston tied the series because the Hurricanes don't play as well at on the road as they do at home. And definitely Madison Square is going to be ultra tough to play in, but if it starts to get lopsided, and key factor, the Rangers outplayed them in game one and lost. So that hurts, without a doubt. I like Carolina in that series. So there you have it. If in reverse, we're powering through episode one of season three, finally. Jeez. March Madness went by, April, missed the first Saturday in May. Preakness is coming up. What is it? The Preakness Stakes. Our favorite part of If and Reverse, the horse racing section. Definitely. And you can always find my horse racing picks on Thule's Thoroughbred Takes, affiliated with VSiN.com. Thule's Thoroughbred Takes, Dave Thule. Weekly, I give out my picks on Saturdays, and we did give out our Preakness picks, and they will be available for all who missed the FM Reverse podcast, but do not miss this podcast. Season 3, and I'm going to be promoting the hell out of it. And we're live from the Rampart Casino. We're going to keep it to an hour tonight, so we got about 7 minutes left, and we're going to buzz through the Preakness because the field is leaves a lot to be desired. Rich Strike has passed it. The Kentucky Derby winner is not going in the Preakness, which is like semi-unheard of, but it happens. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? The ownership and trainers, Sonny Leon, great ride, beat Epicenter, beat Zandon, beat Simplification, beat a lot of the horses in this Preakness, but a lot of the horses in the Preakness haven't run in the Derby, so let's keep that in mind. We'll start with the one, Simplification, Antonio Sano, probably the best Florida horse out of the Kentucky Derby preps. I mean, ran well in the Derby. Didn't break too well, stayed on, fourth place finish. Jose Ortiz is switching now. He's going to the horse I like, early voting. You got John Velasquez. John Velasquez, definitely an accomplished rider. The trainer, Antonio Sano, he's 11% this year out of 242 starters. I think he's definitely going to get a piece, but not one of my top picks. I'll look for him, in the third, fourth area. Creative Minister. He's got a nice 80,000 optional at Churchill. Won at Keeneland. He lost at Gulfstream Park his maiden debut. Kenny McPeak is definitely a top conditioner, although he's only hitting at 15% this year. 18 winners out of 118 starts. Brian Hernandez Jr., 10-1 morning line. I think that's a little short, but he's definitely running well and can be competitive in a weaker field like this is. Fenwick, ran terrible in the bluegrass after breaking a maiden special weight. Can't say much about this horse. I think he's just going to add to the pace. He's going to be one of those horses that are out on the lead. And that's why I'm very, shocked that Rich Strike didn't run, because there's going to be such a hot pace in this race. So, you got Florent Giroux, but Fenwick is definitely 50-1. He's going to be in excess of that. He's going to add to the pace, but he's not going to be around at the end. The Philly, all the buzz, Dwayne Lucas' secret oath, 9-2. You know, the slip up and the question is the Arkansas Derby when she ran against the boys. Switched up tactics a little, usually was much closer, but I'm not sure if she was fast enough to be much closer. And Cyberknife and Barbara Road weren't factors, you know, down the Kentucky Derby stretch. But then she returned and crushed in the Kentucky Oaks. And, you know, breaking from the rail that day broke kind of behind. But Saez had her in better position than Contreras did in the Arkansas Derby. So she was definitely able to take advantage. Held off Nest, who was a beautiful filly. A lot of positives for Secret Oath. Ran a top buyer of 94. You know, the Ragazins are right there. Could be competitive. Definitely has to take to this Pimlico surface, which I think she can. She took to Oaklawn. She has, you know, taken to Churchill as well. Likes an off track. Nice workouts. 113 breezing coming into this race. Definitely a possibility at 9-2. She's going to get a ton of backing just because Lucas, Saez, and a filly. So I think her odds will be less than 9-2. I'm going to take a pass. The 5 is my selection, early voting, 7-2. You know my routine. Chad Brown, I always respect his horses to the utmost. You look at this horse, the Wood Memorial was fabulous. Just got reeled in by Mo Donegal. And you're talking about in the last 16th in a 147-4. Monster number. Definitely, you know, as quick as these horses are, Jose Ortiz switches from simplification to this horse who skipped the Kentucky Derby. And like I said, they combine for a 27% win percentage when combining and teaming up Chad Brown and Jose Ortiz. Bet this horse to win. This horse is going to, doesn't need the lead to win. Trust me, it's got to sit off of Fenwick, off of Armagnac, off of these horses, and has to make, you know, have the lead at the top of the stretch, make Epicenter come and get him. That's the whole key. Because Epicenter is going to be the big favorite here. Steve Asmussen, beautiful run in the Kentucky Derby, winner of the Louisiana Derby, winner of the Risen Star. This is the horse to beat. So you have to hold this horse off in the last 16th of a mile. Epicenter is 6-5 and should be. I mean, was the Kentucky Derby winner. If Rich Strike doesn't come up with that huge, huge effort, this horse wins the Kentucky Derby. So I think it's pretty much between early voting and between, you know, Epicenter. I think they're the two best horses. I respect Secret Oath. I respect simplification, but I think there's a little much for them to do. Skippy Longstocking is an interesting horse from the outside post. Ran third in the Wood Memorial. Was about two lengths off of early voting. Simplification crushed him earlier in the year. But 20-1 and Exaggerator Breeding, who did run very well in the Preakness, didn't he? Let's keep that in mind. Safi Joseph definitely has an outside chance. You know, looking at the other horses, Armagnac, yeah, former Baffert, Tim Yachtin, another horse that's going to be out there with Fenwick making the pace, so it's going to be tough for this horse to hold on. Some positives. I mean, the 100,000 race is nice there, 144-2 for a 16th, backed up against Taiba and Messier, Happy Jack beat him. Happy Jack is in this race as well, so I think they're very similar. Happy Jack, 14th actually in the Kentucky Derby. I think these two horses are up against it, guys. You know, so if you want more of my Preakness insight, and there's never enough of my Preakness insight, I'm going to be on VSiN Friday night, 4:30 Pacific, and we're going to discuss what's going on. Also, like I said, Thule's Thoroughbred Takes, DFM Reverse Podcast. Like I said, you have my pick, early voting, and I like Epicenter second. 7-2, Chad Brown. Season 3, episode 1 is complete. Live from the Rampart Casino, I'm opening up the door here. Yeah. You gotta love it. The casino's rustling and bustling. Thanks for listening.